Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning. Glad you are listening. We have Dr. Atira Charles with us talking about the things that beset us, the anxieties, and how we can do better for ourselves. And we have Lester Hutt in the business spotlight talking about Bev Shots. And Dr. Tom Siri will be talking about the Ebola virus. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. And by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with the beautiful custom shower enclosure from Widen Glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up with style. Call Widen Glass today, 222-5781, or chat online with one of their service professionals at widenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Widen, the best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
Going green just got easier with high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty, owner of Truck and Car Concepts. We have over 18 years' experience. Our sun control films eliminate 79% of the heat gains and 99.9% of the UV rays to prevent fading.
Use less energy and save money with professionally installed high-performance window film from Truck and Car Concepts. One block east of Weems Road on Mahan Drive, across from Kraft Nissan. Call 656-8800.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning. So glad you are with me. I hope you are doing well. And on this beautiful Saturday here, the 1st of November, happy All Saints Day, right? And it is a happy time in Seminole land. The Seminole Nation did well Thursday night earlier this week, and the celebration continues. Why? Well, because it was arguably one of the most, if not the most challenging game that the Florida State football team had faced in their journey thus far. You could throw Clemson and Notre Dame in there, certainly. But at the half, they were trailing by 14 points with a 7-21 score in favor of Louisville. So with that, we will say congratulations to Florida State football. Final score, 42-31. Jameis Winston led them down the field in that second half with some remarkable accuracy. And how about the freshman who scored repeatedly? What an amazing year this is in Florida State football. So it certainly has that going for it, and has all of us recovering from any kind of cardiac problems that we may have incurred Thursday night. Elsewhere, the Marching 100 out there this morning with the homecoming parade. So a shout out to all of our FAM alums out there celebrating homecoming. Happy homecoming to all the FAMU community. And so Dr. Charles who herself is part of that same FAMU community, also an organizational consultant. Okay, so this is somebody that comes in and looks at how organizations are managed and structured and such, and gives helpful direction to them better managing whatever they do. So that could be a nonprofit association. It could be a private business. It could be a governmental agency. And she gets involved in that kind of work. She's astoundingly good at what she does. And as a motivational speaker, brings a lot of inspiration and affirmation and direction to the conversation. So we'll have her with us delightfully talking about what you and I can do to improve the interior space, we'll say, in terms of our own life journeys What do you think of that? And while we were talking about that in our pre-production meeting, we're talking about this conversation I had with Dr. Tom Cirio here just a week or so ago. And in that conversation, we got into the business of talking about Ebola and its threat, or apparent threat, or maybe we should say even our reaction to, as a culture, as a society, those things that frighten us. And Ebola is one of those things that looms out there on the headlines of, it seems like, every news report you're going to come across, wondering whether or not we're in danger of being infected. So Tom Cirio did a little bit there to help us calm down, I think, and get a better grasp of what Ebola really is and what kind of threat is maybe impending. So that's good. He'll be with us in the first half hour here of the show. We'll just a replay of that conversation for you. Elsewhere around town, we know there are a lot of startups, a lot of new businesses, some of those coming by way of the cooperation of public and private, particularly Florida State University and its efforts to initiate startup businesses. And that's been going on for a number of years, and we've seen some great outcomes, and we've had a number of those folks here as guests on our show. We have another example with Lester Hutt and his company, Bev Shots, Bev short for beverage. We're going to learn about the business and how it was conceived and how it's been implemented, and we'll learn a little bit about Lester Hutt in the process. Great idea, and it's amazingly intriguing as to how this goes. I don't want to give away everything, you know, but he'll be with us in the second hour, and we'll learn about Bev Shots. So that's a lot to look forward to, and at the same time, we got a lot going on around town. In the news this week, of course, various things that caught our attention, not the least of which this federal investigation, the FBI investigating Leon County, and actually a federal grand jury working with the FBI that has ordered Leon County schools to hand over volumes of documents that go back for years, having to do with how construction projects at over a dozen schools were managed. So that certainly doesn't sound great for Leon County schools if you've got the feds feeling as though something has gone awry here and needs to be further investigated. We'll stand by for further details. And speaking of investigations, then it turns out that Carlos Williams, who had come under some other criticisms from a female associate of his, was cleared of all that. In fact, she recanted anything and asked the TPD just back off. Then he gets named in some kind of drug deal robbery. Wow. We don't know at this point all of the fallout from that, but it seems to be part of the landscape for us as a community, that, you know, we're going to be presented with these things. You almost just kind of sit back and wait for the next shocking announcement, right? To the point where it's not even shocking anymore. And, of course, Halloween being that tradition that was the All Hallowed Eve. So all of this was sort of an imposition, I think, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Carl will have to check my factometer on this, but really had to do with the fact that traditions of the day were all about more, we'll say, pagan traditions that the church was trying to embrace in some fashion. So with the 31st of October having been long established, the church came back and said, well, okay, you can have the 31st, but we're declaring November 1st All Saints Day. So happy All Saints Day to all of you who are listening, and hope you had a great Halloween celebration too. Just remember, not too much candy. Folks, appreciate you staying with me. We're going to have a great show coming forward here, and we ask you to stay with us through the break. And by the way, speaking of that, let me tell you that we are here because of sponsors who make it possible for us to bring you this great radio show we call Tallahassee Talks, including the guys over there at Tommy T's in Midtown, where you can get a fantastic level of service for your car, your truck, all kinds of things that they do for you. Some of the best mechanics in town. Stop in and see Steve or John this week. Tommy T's Mighty Lube, they can do that quick oil change for you, complete service package at a price you won't believe. It's under $25, and you know, pay for your parts in addition to that, but great service package. And be sure to tell them that you heard about them on Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Tommy T's in Midtown on Thomasville Road.
The holidays are coming. Well, in a few months, and that's why now is the time to shower up with the beautiful custom shower enclosure from Witten Glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. They've designed and installed tub and shower enclosures for Tallahassee homeowners for over 70 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures provide style and luxury at an affordable price. With the holidays coming, that means family, and that means now is the time to shower up. With style. Call Witten Glass today, 222-5781, or chat online with one of their service professionals at wittenglass.com. W-H-I-D-D-O-N, Witten. The best name in glass since 1945. Call 222-5781.
So here we are, folks, and talking about things that have been going on through the week. Ebola continues to be in the news. A lot of fear out there. And with Atira Charles being here today, I thought it would be great if we could, or important for us to replay, a segment that we did with Dr. Tom Cirio, who talked with us a little bit about the Ebola virus and the possibilities of an impending threat to public health. Let's listen.
I mean, with all of the scare, and I'm interested in knowing from you whether you think the Ebola concerns are primarily that, or are they just kind of scare tactics? I mean, do we really have to be concerned about this domestically, we'll say?
No, not really. Ebola, it's pretty specific. We know it's pretty specific how it gets transmitted. So somebody has to be sick when they have it. Like the flu, the patient has no symptoms, and they can spread it to other people, and then they'll get sick 2 weeks later. With Ebola, you have to be sick when you spread it, and there has to be some mucous membrane, quote, intimate or close contact.
Yeah, saliva, yes. Blood, something.
Yeah, sweat.
And it has to be moist when you have contact.
Right.
Right. So in that way, it's not transmitted through the air. It can't just be dried blood that later.
Well, remember,
we're not
sneezing
sure
is mucus. You know, you get someone who spits when they talk, and
which I do
like
all
that.
The time. I'm really embarrassed about that.
We'll work on that later.
Okay, maybe that has to do with my orthodonture work or something. I don't know, or just being stupid. Yeah,
I don't say that about anybody. But
well, I feel better now. Thanks.
But you really have to be. There has to be a specific set of circumstances for Ebola to be transmitted.
Okay. With that comment, are we still looking at cardio issues being the most? You mentioned diabetes, blood pressure. I mean, how are we doing as a population, health-wise?
Well, we're going downhill. The new thing is inflammation. Inflammation is a key to things, and that is actually one of the tests that's performed.
Inflammation of tissue? Of
the lining of the arteries. And that's where you get hardening of the arteries.
Okay.
I have patients who have high cholesterol, very low inflammation. We do their circulatory studies, no blockage at all.
Wow.
People who have high levels of inflammation and only moderate cholesterol, they will have some problems. So we need to get that inflammation down.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we talk about bedside manner, and I think that for you, it seems like that was really the beginning point for you, is that you really were looking at how to care for people and then bring medical science to bear, rather than, you know, being some kind of egghead in a lab somewhere, and, you know, you'd be enjoying your practice if it weren't for all the people that keep getting in your way. And I say that sort of tongue in cheek, but I mean, I have met medical people and educators who have that sort of approach. You know, it's like, I love teaching except for the students. And so,
right. No, you're correct. I mean, I could be Albert Einstein, but I'd much rather be Marcus Welby. I could know everything in the world, but if your practice is set up that you only have 3 minutes to tell the patient all you know and how to take care of yourself, and then you're supposed to be on to the next patient because the insurance company says that, or the payer says that, or time crunches say that, they're not going to get it. I mean, it's taken years and years to you know, accumulate the knowledge. Doctors are now taught to be lifelong learners.
Yeah.
New things are going to come up yearly.
Yes.
And if you're not a lifelong learner and you don't have the intellectual curiosity, a robot could take over.
Right.
To me, that's sad. That's not being a doctor. That's being an assembly line. And from day one, I always wanted to be a family physician, never wanted to be anything else. And I wanted to be a doctor. And that's what I think family medicine is, being the old-time doctor versus being this specialist or this specialist and limiting yourself to an extreme focus.
Does that afford you then an opportunity to work with lots of different types of people all within that same family setting? I mean, so you're seeing young and old, and I mean, is there anything that you within your practice that you wouldn't consider as far as, let's say, age for one of your patients?
No, not at all. I used to deliver babies.
Huh.
We are the classic cradle to grave. And even before that, I mean, I've had some patients come to me with, quote, the gleam in their eye. You know, we want to start our family.
Cool.
What's the best way to do it? I'd like to try and shoot for a girl. I'd like to try and shoot for a boy. There are some tricks there that you can do in that regard.
Right.
Babies that I've delivered are now off to college.
Yeah.
And that's kind of freaky. It gives me an opportunity to practice for some of the—
feeling a little grayer
for
than
my own kids.
To, yeah.
Yes. Yes. But we have in our office, we have 4-generation families.
Wow.
Here, where we're taking care of the newborn, the 30-year-old mom, the grandmother, and the great-grandmother. And it is touching, it is moving to be considered a part of their family.
Curiously, does that afford you a degree of insight, given that you're able to see more of this family? And I'm thinking of maybe trends or patterns that go on in families with regard to physical health. I mean, you have a little deeper understanding maybe of how this family works.
Yes, most definitely. If we're working with families and the mother had a difficult time when she was 20, 25 years old, getting her first job, things like that. And now we see the child come up and now he's 18 and finishing high school and you can getting ready to enter the job market or go to college, and you can see similar patterns.
Interesting.
There is a lot of that that goes on. And then also the socioeconomics. If you've been working with the grandmother and you have an idea of what life is like in their house, you know, it only helps taking care of the grandchildren, taking care of the children. You know, I will know that I really need to try and find the best $4 Walmart medicine. Because if I write another medicine and they can't afford it,
what good does that do?
I'm 100% sure it won't work if you don't take it.
And so we're going to have to bid him well. He's got other more important things to do with his day. I mean, I think golf is on the schedule for today, or
no, I'm not a golfer yet. We'll be watching some football games.
Okay, folks. We're glad that you've been with us. Dr. Thomas Cirio, who has graciously agreed to be one of our contributors. So be looking forward to more from this man as we go forward with Tallahassee Talks, and we'll be going forward here. You stay with us. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So, how's your car running?
Oh, it's great.
Well, that's good. And where'd you go?
SS Performance Group over on the west side of town. They are the real pros.
I thought SS Performance Group was for like...
engine modification.
Right, and...
muscle cars. Yeah, right. And oil changes, brakes, and tune-ups. Everything for every car. So I figure go pro with the best for everything I need, right?
Yeah, so they can work on my SUV.
Yep. GoPro.
SS Performance Group at 431 Capital Circle Southwest. Go online or call 575-0259.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are here with one of the best reasons to listen to the radio, in my humble opinion. And no, it's not me, but this young woman who, for her part, is contributing mightily to our understanding of self, and the workplace, and societal issues, and our own culture, our community. She is a professor of business at Florida A&M, and at the same time, she is an organizational consultant and a motivational speaker, somebody who lots of folks enjoy listening to because she brings insight into those things that move us forward and or that may be holding us back. So it is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Atira Charles. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? It's a pleasure to be here.
Just having you in the room, I feel better.
Well, that's awesome.
I mean, so there's a kind of anointing here that, you know, just seems sort of spill over wherever you are.
Right. Well, I like to say the power of presence, right? And we all have that ability for our presences to make a difference
in other people's lives. There you go. Yeah, just trying to share the wealth, aren't you? And it's not, that's right, it's not about the star status
right. That
we might think we enjoy or that others want to apply to us.
Exactly.
It's really for every person, isn't it?
It is. Every individual person has their own, what I like to say, inner light, right? And just like the song says, let it shine, let it shine. Because a lot of times people aren't aware of what that light inside of them is. And that's kind of one of the reasons that I do the work that I do, to help people peel back the layers and become more aware of the aspects of self that they can contribute to the world, contribute to their workplaces, their communities, but also being aware of the liabilities that they have as well, or the weaknesses they may have.
And that is a lifelong process.
Exactly.
It?
It's a process. It's not a destination. Yeah. It is not a destination. It's definitely a journey and a process.
You know one of the things I like about you?
What?
Well, first of all, I love your hair.
Thank you.
It is a new look for you. That's true.
It's a new dude.
Folks, I wish this were television. You'll just have to look at the photos when we get home. Better yet, go to her website. She's gorgeous. Anyway, I like the fact that while you are a religious person, you are a spiritual person, you're not encumbered with, I'll call it religion or religious thinking, which for me is a sort of pejorative. I mean, the word religion carries with it so much baggage, right? But to me, you're a person who has that rootedness, but you're very much aware of the spiritual life we all are living, whether we're aware of it or not.
Right. And, you know, the way I think about it, I was raised in a family where I knew from a very young age that God mattered and God controlled things in my life. And so through life, you know, of course, there's different religious views and values and beliefs that we all share around the world.
Right.
But for me, understanding that God matters, that God influences my life, that gratitude matters, and that there are good things to do in the world and bad things to do in the world, and that I err on the side of good, right?
Why does gratitude matter?
So for me in my life, gratitude has been directly connected to all of the blessings that I've received. You know, some of my friends make a joke and say, Tira, you have a charmed life. You know, things just kind of happen for you. They kind of work out. And I don't believe that it is random. I believe that God has a vision for my life. And I'm glad that my parents were able to instill in me an awareness, right, of that connection, to be able to walk in a way that aligns with what I believe to be that vision and purpose. Mm-hmm. And here's the interesting thing. The clarity I'm speaking about that with now, of course, is not the clarity that I've had through life. But at this point now, I have more clarity in the fact that God has me here to utilize my voice to help people understand themselves. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that's transformative, not just for people, but for me as a person, because no matter whether I'm teaching in a classroom or I'm speaking at an event or I'm at a boardroom at a corporation, I'm able to utilize my voice and my thoughts to transform and change for the good. Mm-hmm. And that feels great.
And when you see those changes happening, is it often that people will say back to you, man, this is working, this is changing my life
here. And honestly, that's the feedback that has allowed me to have the clarity. Uh-huh. Because for a long time it was, oh, I just went and got my PhD in organizational behavior, and yeah, I'm kind of intuitive, and I give good advice, right? I would minimize it down just kind of what I do on a day-to-day. Hmm. But I'm much more strategic and clear about the fact that that's the gift I have and that I need to use it purposefully.
So your message then to me is, Brian, find where it is that you are gifted and go with it.
Exactly. Exactly. And the universe, people, society, the environment, the social landscape, whatever language we want to use, communicates back to us. But in order for us to get the message, we have to have our ears open, right? Or even our hearts open or our minds open.
Okay, now that's key, because so many times when I try to share with folks, their ears aren't open, right?
Right.
How does a person come to that? What opens us up to be able to receive that information?
So the first thing that opens us up is taking the moment to be still, right?
We have
to.
And that's a choice.
Right, exactly. We have to just stop sometimes, be still, and have that self-talk and say, self, what do I need to become aware of right now? Do I need to become aware of aspects of myself? Do I need to become aware of things that are going on in my environment? And that level of awareness allows us to then reflect and strategize, right, on what direction and what steps we're interested in taking.
Okay. So once I've done that, and that sounds like it's not a retreat somewhere in
Tibet. Oh my
gosh,
no. It's just a daily, it's a daily thing. I always tell when I'm doing speaking events, I said, you know what? It always feels good in this 1 hour session, right? Mm. Or we could even say in this 1 hour radio show. Mm. It feels good. I heard it. I feel pumped up. I feel empowered. And then we just keep moving on with the rat race. Mm. What we have to do is schedule time into our day to have these reflective self moments, mm-hmm. whether that is when you first wake up in the morning, whether it's what I like to call pillow talk, when you're just laying there by yourself before you fall asleep, whether it's that random moment that you're sitting in the car at lunchtime, right? You have to just take the moment to decompress and be able to hear, right? And you can hear others, you can hear yourself.
So if we're not doing that, then we're going to run back to get more pumped up again.
Right.
So I think that's why a lot of people go to church, because they have their weekly fix where they get kind of inspired and pumped up, and then they just go back to the next 6 days of, ugh.
Well, what I always like to say is that aside from the fact that it's not a destination and it's a journey and a process, we have to be very clear about the fact that sometimes we need help, right? So this process of self-awareness and self-reflection and self-knowledge, it's not easy on your own, right? So prompting helps. That's why when we read certain books, it helps guide us. When we go to church, it helps guide us. When we go to classes, right, it helps to guide us. When we just have coffee with our friends at lunchtime, right, it helps to guide us and think through certain aspects of things that make us go,
It can be helpful to have that support, but unless we are willing
to do it outside, exactly,
there's no chance.
We have to have an active role in it.
It's not gonna
stick.
If
only it's an external prompt that makes you think about that, that's the challenge, right? So we have to become better monitors of ourselves to stop and do it ourselves, sometimes.
Okay, so we started out by saying that gratitude is a very powerful thing in our lives.
Exactly.
To know that experience, or to experience the benefit of gratitude, you're saying the first thing you have to do is get quiet.
Get quiet.
And listen.
Right. Because a lot of times people think that God isn't working in their life, that their own individual efforts are not paying off with rewards. But sometimes we have to have those moments of still to even see, oh, wow, it was here, and mm-hmm. I just didn't see it. It was said and communicated. I just didn't hear it, mm-hmm. you know, and that's mm-hmm. where that comes in.
And there's so many references to that in history, even in Scripture, where you see people who come to an awareness, mm-hmm. and it was there in front of them all the time.
It was there in front of them all the time.
Wow. Yeah. Folks, we're listening to this very capable and wonderful person. Atira Charles is with us this morning, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you in part by the wonderful folks at A Country Rose Florist, who graciously help us in sponsoring the show. And I invite you personally, I admonish you to go and enjoy all the good things that they can bring into your life, gifts and flowers. Annette McGuffey and her crew are the best. A Country Rose Florist, you'll find them online at acountryroseflorist.com. Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. But I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra, extra deep cleaning that you probably would do. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
Now we're talking Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we're talking with Dr. Atira Charles, who has graciously joined us here this morning. By the way, folks, wherever you may be, so glad that you've tuned in. And let me ask you, how you doing? If no one else has asked you this morning, I want to be the first to say, how are you doing? And I don't say that in a casual way, in the way we do in polite conversation. Hey, how you doing? I'm asking you, how, in fact, maybe even more so, in what manner are you doing? In what way are you living your life? How is life with you, inside and outside, right? And so we have Dr. Charles here with us this morning, and we're at least I'm feeling a whole lot better. I don't know, but it just this is what happens when we bring very cool people who do very cool things to our show. And so glad that you've chosen to be a part of that. And so glad that you, Dr. Charles, have been able to give us a bit of insight. We're talking about gratitude. We're talking about a good starting place, and we've said that, man, that's really about you getting quiet and listening. Where do you see it going from there? What's kind of the next step in that?
So once we have that stillness moment and once we reflect, we then have to be honest, right? And this is the most difficult part of the process because I always say we have to hold up the metaphorical mirror and look in and be okay with what we see and understand that if we see some blemishes or if we see some challenges or if we see some things that don't make us feel good, we have to still value that information and that message the same way that we value the things that make us feel good about ourselves. And that's honestly the process of vulnerability that is the most difficult.
And why is that most difficult, do you think?
So psychological theory will say that as humans, we have a hedonistic quality, right? We like to feel good. We like to do things that make us feel good. Mm. We like to do things that make us believe that we are good, right? And then ego gets involved there as well. And not ego in the layman's term, negative, you know, view, but just our concept of self, you know,
and protecting
and
self.
Yeah. And so by not being vulnerable and not being transparent, that's actually self-protective, but it's self-protective to a fault.
Right.
Right.
So those things that we might say are sort of natural for us
exactly.
can really keep us from.
We're battling a psychological
life.
Tendency, right?
Yeah.
And in battling a psychological tendency or even a behavioral tendency, that's difficult because now what we're really talking about is almost rewriting our code.
And
right?
That must be even more difficult for those who have been traumatized, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Because when even if someone lives a life that has more high times than low times, life is rough and tough, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about having more valleys than peaks, there's more to deal with there, right? And that's where that comes
from. I was reading a Facebook post from a friend who said that her husband hadn't spoken to his mother in over 35 years,
wow,
kind of thing, and didn't want to have any relationship with her. Mm-hmm. And she was reporting this to us, which in and of itself is sort of curious to me, that we will reveal the most intimate details of our lives to people that we don't know.
Right.
But if someone were to walk up to us on the street and ask us those kinds of intimate questions, we'd be offended.
Right. Well, it's because no matter what, if we have a set of emotions that is building up and brewing, it's going to come out, right? Mm-hmm. We only have a certain human capacity, right?
So she took the opportunity to tell us about this. I'm not sure he was in on that.
I was going to say, I'm not sure how he felt about it, but, you know.
She did report.
It was cathartic for her, I guess.
the point of her posting was that he'd made this effort to make a phone call to his mother, and left her a voicemail message.
Wow.
So she said, okay, it's a start. And some folks, of course, were chiming in about, hey, that's great and all. And it reminded me of this idea that resentment is the poison you drink to yourself to try to get even with somebody else.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
You know, so if I allow bitterness or unforgiveness to remain, then this ability to be less inhibited, to be more vulnerable, to open up and experience gratitude,
right,
becomes even more difficult, right?
And one of the challenges with vulnerability, one of the things we have to become aware of, is there's always going to be a peanut gallery that has an opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to become better filters,
yeah,
of the peanut galleries in our lives as well. And when we think about social media creates this.
There's a lot of nuts out there.
Well, social media creates this false sense of community or interaction sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So I love Facebook. I love Instagram. I love to be able to share pictures, share stories, have people engage in my life that just by time, space, and location don't have a front row view, right? It allows me to build relationships with people that just time and space has created, you know, distance with.
Yeah.
So I do believe that there's strong value, and I'm pro social media, but it's like anything has another side, right?
Yeah.
I think that social media for some allows people to live in this insulated space internally, but kind of create this facade of external interaction.
Mm.
And that can be dangerous because it can almost become a little bit delusional.
Honestly, I don't see there. I agree with that. And I don't see that being much different than what we often will do when we go to some group that we're a part of, but we never really get honest with that group. It could be a Sunday morning, it could be a Wednesday night group, or whatever we're doing, maybe the people at work. We just don't get honest, do we?
Yeah.
Remove the mask, I think you might say.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I have a new project that I'm working on called The Mask Project, which talks about the emotional and psychological masks that we wear every day in our personal life and in our work lives. And I like to use the hashtag unmasked, right? UNMASKED, because we have to take the masks off at some point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So masks can be, the metaphorical mask, I'll call it, can be protective, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can also insulate us, but it can also be strategic. Right. So a lot of times we think about a mask as a negative thing. Oh, you're covering, you're hiding. Oh, you're shamed. No, not necessarily. I may just be aware enough to reflect and realize that in this moment, in this situation, in this circumstance, I need to wear it. But one of the challenges is that people can sometimes get so used to the rat race of wearing all of these different masks that they don't have the moments to take it off and reflect and kind of get back in touch with their core authentic self.
And would you say, too, that in being that way and in being in touch with your core self, if you have at least one other or maybe a core group that knows that core, that knows that real you,
right,
that's helpful, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Research will support, and even anecdotally, social support systems matter. but you have to make sure that the sources of your social support are authentic as well and can interact with you in that transparent mm-hmm. and in that vulnerable way mm-hmm. because it's an exchange. If I share everything with you, but then you don't share anything with me, in our next interaction, I'm going to be more guarded. But if I share with you and then you share with me, now there's trust that's built. Right. Mm-hmm. And understand that we have an equal vested interest in this vulnerability exchange. Mm-hmm.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, talking with Dr. Atira Charles and having a great conversation here about those things that you and I do with our own lives and with those around us who are, we'll say, our intimate others, our significant others, how well we can embrace the idea of being grateful. So allowing gratitude to work within us, bring us past those masks that we sometimes wear for good reason, but allow us to have that sort of genuine intimacy with the people right. who matter most. Folks, I'm having a great time. Thank you for staying with us. We're going to continue with Dr. Charles as we take this break. We'll be back after the top of the hour. ABC News is up ahead. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. This portion of our show is brought to you by The Green Room. Heather Baker and company, this is an amazing person. And right here in our very own town of Tallahassee, Heather Baker is award-winning, having spent her entire career in hair. And I mean, she really knows how to make you look great for you, not try to make you look like somebody else. And yes, she is officially the hairdresser for Tallahassee Talks. I'm telling you, if I can go in there, guys, listen, stop fooling around with the chop shops around town. Get involved with somebody who really loves this craft. That's what she does, and it's called The Green Room on Lake Ella. They're located at 1425 North Monroe, right there at Lake Ella. You can reach her at 425-5222, or just go to her Facebook page, The Green Room on Lake Ella. It's the best thing you can do for your look this week. So here we are on this lovely Saturday, 93.3 FM is our home station in Tallahassee. The good folks at Freedom 93 are willing to put up with me every week, as are you, my dear friend. Thank you for listening in, wherever you may be. If you're online listening, we stream live to the web, or we're broadcasting locally here at 93.3 in Tallahassee, and we have Dr. Charles with us. Holding us up and holding our hands as we get through this murky business of figuring out who we are, how we can better live our lives in ways that are more, let's say, rewarding, meaningful, mm-hmm. satisfying. As you've said repeatedly, it is a process,
yes.
and it's lifelong. We've pulled out a few rather dramatic examples of folks who on a public stage shock us with their behavior. And your comment is, well, okay, let's see what's behind the mask.
Exactly.
Huh? Yeah. And as we begin that effort, we've said that step one is we really just need to have those moments in our lives. And I mean, this is what, every day maybe, or at least often?
Every day, or in some systematic
quiet.
Way.
Yeah.
Right, in some systematic way, be it once a day, twice a day, two times a week. We have to have some type of personal ritual, some type of personal system that allows us to be still, right, and reflect. And that requires no distractions, right? Because we're our own set of distractions
internally.
And it is
so contrary to modern living.
It is.
I mean,
it
we wake
so
up, we
contrary.
Flip on the TV, we're on our Facebook page, on our phones. I mean, driving in the car, we flip on the radio.
Exactly.
You know? Don't turn the radio off, just saying.
Right. And that's and that's just the other stuff. That's not even the husbands and the wives and the children and the yeah. mothers and the fathers that we're taking care of and yeah. everybody else, right? The internal noise is loud enough, but if you don't allow yourself to disconnect from that external noise, you won't be able to fruitfully go through this process.
Do you, when you look at let's just talk about our community, Tallahassee,
yes.
okay? And of course, we're a subset of American culture, mm-hmm. but we have a kind of style here that is ours, mm-hmm. I think, and part of our mission is to help us find that in,
right.
in the way that we do it with this show.
You've traveled about quite a bit. You've been a part of other communities. How do you think of Tallahassee? What comes to mind when you think of your hometown?
So it's interesting when I'll kind of take it at the individual level and take it up to the community. So when we think about identity, right, we have a lot of different identities. And identity can either be a source of affirmation and pride, right? We feel good about it. We're excited about it. It makes us feel good. Or it can be a source of threat, right, and shame. It can operate two different ways. So from my experience in Tallahassee, it's one of affirmation and pride. I came to Tallahassee as a 16-year-old college freshman to FAMU, and I loved it. It was an amazing experience. It was the years in which I grew into the young woman that I became and now the woman that I am. It motivated me to dream big, right? It motivated me to understand that I'm a part of a place, right? And so our identities can also intersect because Tallahassee is largely defined via this lens of FAMU for me, right? Mm. So this intersection of Tallahassee meets FAMU is very critical to the positive view that I have of Tallahassee. And then for my family to have moved down here from New York, now it's not only Tallahassee, it's Tallahassee and my family, right? And so there's all of these, and then now there's community and family and friends and sorority and all of these things that intersect that make Tallahassee home and make Tallahassee feel good to me.
How do you think we're perceived elsewhere by others who are not part of this community?
So I'd say even before talking about Tallahassee, if we think about the South, just like any given identity group, there are stereotypes, right? Yeah. So we can go through the laundry list of stereotypes attached to being Southern, but then you could even break it down even further to being from the Deep South, right? And then you can break it down even further to being Floridian, right? So all of these different labels have different, right, you know, stigmas and stereotypes attached to it. But I think that it's important for people to self-define what it means for them. Because if you allow stereotypes and biases that other people perceive to define it for you, you're setting yourself up for a lose-lose situation, you know, versus saying, what does it mean to me? What value does it bring to me?
When you're out among other professionals or among those that you are speaking to and you say, I'm from Tallahassee, what do you hear back? What do people say?
So some people will say, oh, where's that? Then some people will say, oh, that's where FAMU, that's FSU, right? So yeah. Tallahassee is largely defined by the university context here. And I think that can also be polarizing because everybody that's in Tallahassee is not connected to FAMU or FSU. Right. So the question then becomes, what is Tallahassee without the universities?
Right.
And how do the non-university connected citizens of Tallahassee connect? And that's why I'm really excited about, you know, our new mayor, Andrew Gillum, that one of my classmates, one of my good friends, you know, coming in as the mayor, because I know that one of Andrew's focuses is to create a common identity of what Tallahassee means, an inclusive perspective of what it means to be a Tallahasseean. So I'm excited about this new chapter.
Are those things that you think of related to Tallahassee that, as you've said, are a bit stereotypic, whether it's, you know, college town or even a football team? I mean, there's plenty of press out there right now about FSU football and Jameis Winston. Are they inhibiting for us? Is that a mask that we have to pull away from?
I think that it can be blinding and consuming, right? Yeah, yeah. I think that if we so any given identity can be defined a number of ways. And I do think that it's limiting for us to solely define ourselves by a football team or even by a band, right? Mm. Just talking about the major things with both universities. Mm. I think that it doesn't allow us to honestly look at some of the other dynamics. I could sit here and say, I'm a professor and a mother and a wife and a business owner, and that's who I am. But the reality is that's only four pieces of who I am.
And that's
right?
only what you do. It's
and
not
that's
really.
Exactly. Yeah. And so there are some other areas of my life that I may need to dissect more, right? I'm a procrastinator. So that's something that I have to pay attention to so that it does not become a liability in my life. But if I only focus on the positive things and I'm not vulnerable enough to focus on some of the areas that need some.
Okay, so that, if you're like me, you're scrambling, trying to get all this clear in your head. And it wouldn't be inadvisable to be taking notes as we learn more from Dr. Charles here this morning. Talking about the very important business, I would say, of self-awareness, self-correction, and allowing others who are intimately involved in the works that we're about, whether in our homes, in our businesses, in our personal relationships and friendships, to have access and to be able to make statements to us about how we can change what we do. Folks, I want to say we all need to be in that business, right? So, folks, stay with me. We're going to continue this conversation. We've got a little bit more I want to try to get for you before we let her go. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
For over 40 years, Marvin McFate has been building houses and helping families build their dreams. He's helped Tallahassee grow, too, by building a company based on three simple ideas: dedication, tradition, and innovation. It's a company dedicated to building homes that'll last for generations with time-tested methods and a clear understanding of how to make homes more efficient with modern innovations. Today, Vanguard North stands as a symbol of the best in home building and home renovation. So, here's to you, Tallahassee, and all the families that Vanguard North has had the privilege to serve. Thanks for letting them share in your dreams. You keep on growing, and they'll be here to help you do it with homes you love to live in today and for all your tomorrows. Vanguard North, home builders and renovators, on the web at vanguardnorth.com. Marvin McFate, he's a bit of a dreamer. He's okay with that.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back, and glad that you stayed with us here in the second hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Having a great morning, and what a great week this has been for all of us here in Tallahassee Town. And we have such a great conversation going with Dr. Atira Charles, who, for her part, seems to be pretty busy contributing to her own family, the lives of others. She's a professor over there at FAMU in business, and an organizational consultant, a motivational speaker. And you are sort of in the business now of preparing to do an audio book. Is that somewhere back there in the works, huh?
Yes. So the work that I do related to identity and self-awareness and how we manage that in our personal and especially our professional lives is something that I'm working on now. And so I'm working on the details and the content, but yes, the goal is to have it as an audio book.
Yeah, well, we had Dr. Cirio on earlier in the show today, and actually pulled a segment of another conversation we'd had with him focused on this question about the Ebola virus. Mm-hmm. And the reason I did that, particularly for today's show, is to put that in the context of what you and I are talking about, mm-hmm. whereby we find ourselves beset with all kinds of fear,
yeah,
and anxieties and stresses, whether they're workplace related. Think about this. When I was a young man, mm-hmm. I never thought if I go to work today, I could get shot.
Right.
Or somebody might go off and decide to come in and start killing people,
right,
whether at my school or my place of work. And when I think about what you shared with us in the first hour, talking about this isolation, there's no oxygen getting to me, right? So I just sort of implode. I mean, I think about this 14-year-old up there in the Seattle area.
So sad.
That's my hometown. I know those people up mm-hmm. there. I mean, you might as well have set off an atomic bomb.
And here's the interesting thing with that story. All of the anecdotes about the child or that he was a popular kid, a friendly kid, everybody loved him, right? So when we think about wearing a mask, right? Paul Laurence Dunbar has a poem that I love that motivates a lot of the work that I do. And the beginning of the poem is, we wear the mask that grins and lies. It hides our cheeks and shades our eyes, you know? And people are not always aware or privy to what's going on the inside, which is why it's important for all of us to at least have those self-reflective moments so that we can more accurately communicate to the people in our world, mm-hmm. I'm afraid, I'm ashamed. I have fear. I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm mad. And I think it's imperative that we do that as adults, because we have to teach our children to do so.
That it's okay.
That it's okay, because we're in a society where image matters so much, and presentation of self does not have to be authentic, right? Just kind of connecting to media and entertainment and things of that nature.
And the outcry that has come about with Jameis Winston, to me,
illustrates
how sensitive that whole presentation of self is.
Right.
When we idolize somebody who, after all, is flesh and blood. But, oh, wait a minute, Brian. He's our star quarterback. Right. He has to live at a different standard.
And here's the challenge with that, right? We have these expectations of others, but are unclear on the expectations we set for ourselves. And I think we have a tendency to, and it's a self-serving bias, right? I mean, research supports this, that we have a tendency to attribute failures to others and successes to ourselves. Hmm. But the challenge with that, just kind of keeping it with the youth conversation, because at the end of the day, he's a star quarterback, but he's a young man who was a teenager when he came into everybody's lives.
Yeah.
The expectation that he has gone through a process of self-reflection and proper impression management is unfair, because for those
unrealistic,
it's unfair if he has not been given those tools, because the reality is most people have not been given those tools. There's just a different lens and microscope on him, and that's not to minimize any of some of the behaviors that he should be managing more effectively,
right?
But at the end of the day, he is a young man that is finding himself under the microscope and scrutiny of the world, and that's not easy.
To me, it supports your observation with the 14-year-old kid who decides to take aim, right?
Right.
What was it that was so fractured? There was this sort of schism, this outward self that is presented. That's the one we want to see. That's the one we're going to reward. Oh, you can throw,
because that's also the one that makes us feel good about ourselves.
There you go.
Right.
And so I dare say that when Mr. Winston was being recruited for his current occupation, I would be shocked to find out that anybody sat him down and said, well, now let's talk about you. You know, let's find out what you value in life and how honest are you with yourself and what masks do you wear? No, they found out that this guy was an amazing football player.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they put their marker. That's what they said they wanted. They got that.
Right.
And I even said to Lynn Wicker, she was on the show here a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know, he went out and did exactly what we asked him to do. Win a frickin' championship. And
he,
you know, and he's over here acting out. And those are undesirable behaviors. And you've said it's not about the behavior. It's about what are we doing to support this guy and walk with him and get him through this.
And not just him, right? Our community as a whole.
Yeah.
Our community as a whole. Because all of us have thoughts and all of us have behaviors and emotions that we don't share with the world, right? Everybody has something that needs some management.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to be very careful of our level of being critical of others without being compassionate about their experience and their lived experience.
And see, to me, that's the level of hypocrisy that comes into play.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, because we didn't run this guy through a personality inventory and decide, you know what, even though this guy can throw a football like there's no tomorrow, we're just not interested. No, we said, are you kidding?
But
this guy will make us a ton of cash. You know?
Right. People are also uncomfortable with having the conversation, period, right?
Yeah.
Because if people aren't able to have the conversation with themselves, how can they be stewards of the conversation with others, you know? And that's why in the classroom, I mean, my students always say, you know, Dr. C, you're always standing on some box telling us about something about ourselves. This isn't in the chapter. And I say, you're right. It's not in the chapter, but it's in your life. Right?
You are the chapter.
Exactly. And I tell them, I said, I could care less if you retain 5 out of 7 versus 7 out of 7 concepts. But if you understand this life lesson that we are talking about right now, you will be better off for it.
Good for you.
You know, and I always tell people, I said, I'm emotionally intrusive. I start every talk off with that. I start every class off with that and say, I'm emotionally intrusive.
I'm going to be getting in your face.
Exactly.
Folks, this is why we do what we do here. Dr. Atira Charles with us this morning, professor, business consultant, motivational speaker, and an author about to release in the near future an audiobook. We're looking forward to that. And a good friend of this show.
Yes.
And
thank
a good
you
friend.
So much for inviting me back.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Stay with me as we go through the bottom of the hour. We've got ABC News coming up, and Lester Hutt will be with us for the last half of the show. Stay with me.
So, how's your car running?
Oh, it's great.
Well, that's good. And where'd you go?
SS Performance Group over on the west side of town. They are the real pros.
I thought SS Performance Group was for like...
Yeah, engine modification.
Right, and...
Muscle cars. Yeah, right. And oil changes, brakes, and tune-ups. Everything for every car. So I figure go pro with the best for everything I need, right?
Yeah, so they can work on my SUV.
Yep. GoPro.
SS Performance Group at 431 Capital Circle Southwest. Go online or call 575-0259.
Whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning. So good to have you with us. We have had quite a couple of hours here almost, hour and a half. Having talked with Dr. Sirio, Tom Sirio's contributor for the show, and talking about things that frighten us, like Ebola viruses that want to kill us. And then we had Dr. Charles with us helping us calm down and realize that a lot of the nebulous sort of fear that's out there can be managed if we'll get in touch with who we are. And it seems fitting to me, then, that we take a little better stab at celebrating life and finding color and art in something as mundane as beer or wine. And so we invited this very intelligent person who has devised for us this amazing work of art, this amazing art endeavor called Bev Shots, right? And Bev Shots, we're going to learn all about as we welcome Lester Hutt. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you, Brian.
Lester, you and I have known each other a while, and you're known well to a number of folks around town for your Bev Shots invention. And the presentation of Bev Shots is remarkable. For those of you who want to know more, you can learn about Lester and his work as the founder of Bev Shots. It's really his brainchild, and he discovered what are referred to as Davidson's images. What are those?
So all the images that we shot are actually photographs that a professor at the Mag Lab did, a scientist named Michael Davidson. And he shot them back in the 90s. And, you know, the website that you can go to is bevshots.com if you want to see what these are. But they're microscopic photos of crystallized versions of different drinks. So you had mentioned, Brian, beer. But we also have things like wine, cocktails, and even non-alcoholic things like Coca-Cola, orange juice, that kind of stuff.
I'm reading from your catalog here of various works. And folks, by the way, while you're listening, if you're listening online especially, go over and look at the website. It's remarkable. Would you say bevshots.com,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like it sounds. But reading from this, it says, we're not judging what you drink, but what you drink just might make for some truly unique art. Mm-hmm. That's a great line. And it's true. And so this Davidson fella back in the 90s had done all of this photographic work.
Yes.
Using what?
It's a standard light microscope, except it was tweaked a little bit to where he put a camera so that the camera would see what he sees through the eyepieces.
I see.
And he also used two polarizing filters on it.
I see.
So, and a lot of people ask, all the pictures have amazing color in them. And everyone always asks us if he Photoshopped them or added dyes. And he did none of that. What you're looking at with the colors is the polarized light kind of passing through crystals of the cocktail.
Wow.
And as the light passes through those cocktails, it refracts just like as you would see like in an oil sheen, mm-hmm. or like a prism. You start seeing like the different.
So literally the light is being refracted, I think is the mm-hmm. proper term,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And as it does so, then we get to see all of the ways in which color is
comes
really,
out of those crystals.
It's just inherent in the substance. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to give away too much of your secret sauce here, but I do know that if we take a drop of Irish pale lager, and I'm looking at that particular image, it's remarkable. It's basically prepared by putting it on a slide
mm-hmm.
and then
letting it either dry out to form crystals, or he's also shot some where he froze the cocktail.
Wow. Well, folks, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, I get it. Colorful microscopic photos of various beverages, tequila and scotch and coffee. And you know, we even have Tennessee whiskey here, which I thought was rather courteous of you. You mentioned Jack Daniels here, and you've got the registered trademark next
yes.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
Lester doesn't miss too many points here, folks. The guy knows what he's doing. But in that way, we get this sort of inside look at these beverages in a manner that we had never imagined. And then you've gone about the business of applying these photographs to all kinds of objects and prints. I mean, folks, we've had in our studio here for a number of months, we had a wonderful display of some of these works. Tell us about that. How are they presented on a canvas and then framed? How do you go about that?
Well, a lot of people, when they saw these images, and when I first saw these images, I immediately thought of modern or like contemporary art.
Yeah.
And that was the initial sort of products that we offered, was modern art that the everyday person could understand.
I see.
And have you ever been to like a New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art or some other modern art museums.
Yes.
And I don't have a formal art degree, and I could never understand what the heck was the explanation behind some of the art, you know? So I remember walking one time into a room up there, and the entire wall was painted blue. It was like worth $1 million. And, you know, there was a 5-paragraph essay explaining how it was, you know, man's frustration with industrialism, blah, blah, blah. And completely fell on deaf ears. I had no idea what was being explained. And I felt that probably 99% of the population felt the same way I did. And so when I saw these art pieces, I said, wow, what a great, you know, it's a beautiful piece of art, but also you could tell your friends, oh, this is my favorite drink, or this is what vodka looks like under a microscope. So that was the original onus behind it.
I see.
And over time, we slowly started getting requests from other people saying, you know, these would look really good as fashion items. So scarves or pocket squares.
And I'm holding in my hand a pocket square. What did you tell me earlier? This is
a red wine under a microscope.
And folks, we're looking at brilliant colors of turquoise and vermilion green and black and magenta. I mean, gold and yellow. It's remarkable. And as a pocket square, I'm certain. Now that this is red wine, I have a feeling my wife might be stealing this from my drawer because she's the cab salve person in our family. But nonetheless, scarves and other items too. Tell us about you. I've seen these on business cards even, right?
Yeah. So my business card has my favorite bev shot on there, which is tequila.
Yeah.
But we have it on things like coasters. Other people have asked it on bar glassware. So we have shot glasses that have the image actually on the bottom. So just kind of branching out into different types of products.
Very cool. And as a business enterprise, was that the idea that you wanted to create a business and
yes.
then saw this as an idea?
Or did you have the idea and built the business around it?
So the where I got these images from was FSU had hired me on as a consultant to look at what things were they doing at FSU research-wise or just had in their bank of copyrighted or trademarked materials that they could then spin off into startups that were based locally.
I see.
And the state actually had dedicated some funds into making that happen. They didn't want to see all their research being outsourced or, you know, or taken by a company that's not in Tallahassee and making a bunch of money off of it. And so they said, you know what, let's try to keep it local. And so they brought me on to look at a lot of the research that was going on. Put together some business plans from some ideas. And the caveat was if I came across something that I liked, that they would give me a chance to go ahead and pursue it. And that's how I came across Davidson's photographs.
I see.
So he's half owner and FSU is half owner of the images. And we set up a licensing agreement where I would start this business up.
That's great. Talking with Lester Hutt here, the owner of BevShots, the creator, So here we are talking with Lester Hutt. He's the founder, the proprietor of BevShots, a startup business that came about because there was an initiative, Florida State University, for the last number of years. And we can say that Eric Barron, former president Eric Barron, was certainly a part of this whole impetus. But a lot of folks around town that were looking to try to get Tallahassee business going forward, and whether in a sort of innovative way or even taking an old idea and reworking it. And you're one of those folks.
Yes.
And that's, but you're academically, your background is not in art or in business as such.
Yeah, my original background was in chemistry. I have a graduate degree from UC Berkeley. And I can truly call myself a rocket scientist. one of the projects that I had worked on over there as part of my graduate thesis work was building miniature instruments that would go on probes that you would send to Mars and to look for evidence of past life. And so I got a chance to work with the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, NASA, and
so when you saw the rocket explode earlier this week.
Yeah, that broke my heart.
I imagine.
Because I know that there were graduate students who had projects on there, and it just got wiped out.
Yeah, that's horrible. We can only say thank goodness there was not the loss
Absolutely.
Of life or personal injury. But after that, the amount of, as you say, the loss of work and the cost.
Yeah.
Any hunch as to what happened or what?
I mean, they're thinking it was the engine.
Yeah.
And I mean, back when I was doing my graduate degree, there was I don't know if you remember the two accidents that happened.
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, so
I think we all do.
They were both rockets that were going to Mars, and one of them overshot Mars because of a miscalculation of metric to English. I don't know if you remember.
I do remember.
Yeah, so. Seeing that while you're working on those probes is very made you very nervous.
So it comes down to the simplicity of something like O-rings or a miscalculation that turns the whole thing into a mess.
Yes.
Yeah. And so in that kind of detailed precision, is it would it be fair to say that it's not unreasonable, I guess, to think that a person can lose sight of some of those very critical yet minute details because they're focused on the big picture? Is that
well, part of it works? At that time, I had an opportunity to sit on some of the mission statements that NASA was giving out. And at that time, they believed in faster, better, cheaper. So trying to do things faster, trying to get rockets and missions turned out faster, doing it less expensively. But you can't ever do all three. And
Boy,
so they missed
the
out on the better part. So
well, there's a piece of wisdom, folks. Faster, better, cheaper. You can do
two of three.
You can't do all three
at once.
You're begging for tragedy.
Yeah.
And for that moment, then, let's think about how that applies in a business setting. Here you find yourself the founder, the operator of BevShots. It seems to me you've taken quite a bit of time in producing a product that isn't about getting to market as fast as you can.
Right.
It's really about creating something that is unmistakably unduplicated, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anybody else out there with this going on.
No one else has shot images like this of alcoholic beverages. And what's great is, you know, the intellectual property is protected because of the trademark ownership that, and the copyright ownership that FSU and Michael Davidson has. And he's very he only lets certain people actually license his images, and so that's why you don't see him everywhere.
So there's a good deal of, we'll call it brand control and
brand
product
control, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Control, right? Quality control. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you faced early on that were sort of challenging, we'll say?
Okay. The biggest challenge starting was I launched this in 2008. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember, 2008 was a really bad economic year to be starting.
A great time for a startup, yeah.
Yeah, pretty horrible time.
For anybody, yeah.
And when I originally started it as a art business, so if you're undergoing loss of job or a major pay cut, what's the first thing you're going to be cutting? You know, yeah. Artwork for your walls. Yeah. You're going to be focusing on the
advertising
essentials.
For your business. Yeah, yeah, I can relate.
And so that made it incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
But what I noticed was that people were still willing to spend lower amounts of money on gift-related items. And mm-hmm. so that's where we started emphasizing more gifty type of items. So things like pocket squares, fashion items, or even prints that were in more the sub $50 type of range versus something, a big piece of art that might cost $400 or $500.
For you, that you are a scientist, this side of you, the creative, artistic, we'll call it, has that become a bit more evident, would you say, in your life?
Are
you,
I would say so.
It kind of opened you up a little bit?
Where my business side really came out was after graduate school at Berkeley, I worked for Apple. And this was right after Steve Jobs had kind of come on board. So I had an opportunity to see all of the initiatives that they did and get to communicate with several different departments as they were growing the business. And so I was able to come to Tallahassee with all of that knowledge. And
yeah. Really, and here you are now. The company continues to operate. Have you seen any kind of an uptick in sales?
Mm-hmm.
We've certainly gotten past 2008.
Yes,
and we're seeing some increases in our business.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the same.
Mine too. The hardest part about this is kind of getting the word out. And you know, people when they're putting art together in their home or in their office, they're not going to be searching for, let me look for
unusual
art that of drinks that look like under a microscope. So by doing, let's say, a show like this or getting some PR, we've been able to get the word out to a lot of people.
I wonder, too, if the folks over at LeMoyne would be interested in entertaining. I mean, you've got works on display around town like you had with our gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Are there places now where you're showing your work?
Not so many art galleries.
Yeah.
They're more interested in, I guess, single productions from original artists and we don't, because they're photographs that we're reproducing onto
materials. Doesn't give you that forum then.
They're not open to that. Mm. So we've had to go a little bit less traditional art routes. So,
like what?
Well, just featuring it a lot more online.
Oh.
And but by doing so, that opens us up kind of worldwide.
Ah.
And so we've been able to sell art pieces.
Market is wider than Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that sound familiar? Well, folks, this is what we do here. We're looking at BevShots. And if you've not done so already, go to BevShots.com and you see what I'm seeing here. I've got this fantastic catalog here in my hands. The scarves, the business cards, the artwork, pocket squares, all kinds of neat things, all because one guy, Lester Hutt, had an idea, and he was able to bring that idea to the doorstep of Florida State University and
Michael Davidson.
Michael Davidson, who was the fellow that created all. Now, all of these photos are still within his purview, within his domain.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But you have access to them.
Yeah, we set up a licensing royalty agreement.
That's
so one benefit is every sale that we make, part of that actually goes back to support research at FSU.
That's awesome. Folks, this is what we love about this town, and Lester Hutt is a great example of a startup that did very well, is doing well. I encourage you to go online, bevshots.com. And Lester, thank you for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
A real joy. We'll stay in tune with you and find out what's going on as your business continues to grow. Folks, you come back again next week. We'll be right here, 93.3 FM in Tallahassee and streaming live to the web, because that's what we do. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there. Brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.